First of all, tonight in Genesis chapter 1, and so that ought to be pretty easy to find. And while you're turning there, we've said so far heaven is a real place and heaven is a restricted place. You got to be saved to go there. We said heaven is an inhabited place on the first night, Sunday night, and we talked about all the different the angels, three types of angels in the Bible, seraphims, cherubims, and angels. We talked about the physical bodies in heaven, Enoch and Elijah and the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. We talked about God is there, the resurrected body or person of the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And then last night we talked about how heaven was a informed place and how that they the things that they knew that were going on. And they know when somebody gets saved, there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And they know about prophecy because Moses and Elisha came and they talked to Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the saints in Revelation chapter number 6 knew that they'd been martyred and knew that it had been a long time and knew that the Lord was going to do something about their situation. They said, "How long, O Lord?" So there's a lot of information in heaven. They know things. And then we ended up very last thing we said last night that heaven, people in heaven are interested on what goes on the earth because they know, and we know from studying the Bible, that heaven is a intermediate place. And that's what we're going to start with tonight. By intermediate, what I mean by that is that heaven is a temporary place. Heaven, as we know it most of all in the Bible, is temporary. And we're going to look at that tonight. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, that's where we're going to start. And we're going to turn a lot of different places tonight. And I hope I've got enough time to turn to all these places because we learn something everywhere we turn. And I'm trying not to just tell it to you, but show you. And I want you to see it as well. But heaven is an intermediate place, which means a temporary place. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, first time we find the word heaven, right here in verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I preached on this a while back on Wednesday night, and I was just quoting it. And Sister Julie came to me after church. She said, "It's not heavens." And that's what I'd been saying. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But that's not what it says. I quoted it that way. But it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so this first time it's mentioned in the Bible. Not heavens, as we say or think about sometimes. Heaven as God's dwelling place and where the angels are was already in existence. God created the heaven and the earth. And so the first thing I want to mention tonight is this word heaven. Heaven is what's called an ambiguous word, and that means it has two or more meanings. So when we're talking about heaven, first of all, we have to be specific. What heaven are we talking about? And this heaven is different from the heaven that God lives in and the angels lived in. So here's an easy way to remember about heaven in the Bible, what the Bible teaches about heaven or the heavens. Number one, there's heaven where the birds fly. That's our atmosphere. That's the air that we breathe. And, you know, it only goes up so far, but where you couldn't breathe anymore, it changes. But our atmosphere, that's one heaven we find in the Bible where the birds fly. Another heaven, the second heaven, is where the astronauts fly and where the planets fly and the moon and the sun and the stars and all of that. Our universe, the heavens. A lot of time people talk about, when they're talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens. And we're looking up and we see the vast universe and the Milky Way and all of that stuff. And then there's heaven where the angels fly. So that's an easy way to remember it. We'll look at this later on, but Paul talked about the third heaven. So one, birds, two, beyond that, universe, three, where the Lord is. So when we're talking about heaven, we use that a lot of times. We might be talking about heaven. We might be talking about heaven as we find it in Isaiah chapter 6. We might be talking about heaven as we find it in the millennial reign. We might be talking about heaven in the very end of the book of Revelation. And there's a difference between this. So the more specific we are, and we're going to see that tonight, helps us understand which heaven that we're talking about. So that's how we're going to look at it tonight. First of all, we're going to look at heaven past. Heaven past. Look in Isaiah chapter number 14. Heaven past, in the past, is where God dwelt and where the angels dwelt. Isaiah chapter number 14. And we're going to read some verses over there. I have already referred to this once or twice, but we didn't turn over there and read it. But heaven past. Isaiah chapter number 14. This is good to have in your notes or to mark it in your Bible. How do we know Satan was in heaven once upon a time? How do we know that he was cast out of heaven? I'm going to give you the verses, and we're going to look at the scripture tonight. But Isaiah chapter 7, or Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse number 12. And sometimes in the Bible, especially the prophecies, there will be a local prophecy. It's talking about, in this passage of scripture, I have to back up through here. It can be talking about an earthly king, but there's a local prophecy, and then there's a distant prophecy. And it's that way in Ezekiel chapter number 28 as well. And maybe we'll see that. But we see that Isaiah here, as he prophesies, he is not just talking about the king of Babylon in this world, but he begins to talk about Lucifer. And it says in verse number 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And so we see here that Lucifer, once upon a time, was in heaven. And he was cast out. He was thrown out of heaven. But he had a desire. And I mentioned on Sunday morning, heaven must be pretty grand, must be pretty good if Satan wanted to have it all for himself. Of course, God would not allow that. And so Lucifer, son of the morning, cast out. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, he's the God of this world, little G-O-D. Look over, it also talks about the same thing in Ezekiel chapter number 28. And so you take Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter number 28, and we'll read a few verses over there. And we were talking the other night, Satan was an angel originally. He was a cherub. We were talking about that after the class just a little bit. So Ezekiel chapter 28 starts out talking about the king of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, and then the king of Tyrus, verse number 12, but he's talking about Satan. He begins to talk about Satan. The king of Tyrus is a type of Satan. There's a lot of type of Antichrist in the Old Testament. So Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 12 said, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God." And so he's not talking about the king Tyrus here. He's talking about Lucifer. He's been in Eden, the garden of God. We know nobody's been in Eden since God put Adam and Eve out and put a cherub there and wouldn't let them back in. But this individual, he has been there. And this is not a person. It says, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was a created being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And so he's talking here about Satan being cast out. And there's five things, and I don't know, evidently I preached upon this or mentioned it because I had five things in the note in my Bible about Satan. And I had number one, I'm just going to give it to you, and I may have done that at some other point, but in verse number 11, Satan was the pinnacle of God's creation. Verse 11, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan, originally, Lucifer, was perfect. And he describes a beautiful being covered with all the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, all of these things. So he was the pinnacle of God's creation. He was placed in the paradise of God. Verse number 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. He was precious in his preparation. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. And maybe you've heard preachers or teachers talk about Satan being a musical being. And where that comes from is that thy pipes was prepared in thee. Evidently he's a musical type of being. Number four, verse number 14, his purpose was unparalleled. What was he? He was the anointed cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And remember, we was talking another night about the tabernacle and the ark, and they made the cherubs and the covering. Well, if you study the book of Hebrews, there's a earthly tabernacle, there's a heavenly tabernacle. The earthly tabernacle is a type of the true tabernacle in heaven. And I believe from studying the Bible that Satan was to be that angel that covered the ark. That's what it says. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I believe Satan was God's top angel. Well, he wasn't Satan at that time. He was Lucifer. But he said, I have set thee so. And thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of stones of fire. We see there that Satan, or Lucifer in the beginning, had to be a very beautiful creature. You know, we think about, and I've mentioned this a lot of times, a can of deviled ham. That little devil on there, horns, tail, pitchfork. That's not a proper representation of who Satan is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, that he's an angel of light. Not a scary, you know, booger man, but an appealing creature. And so his purpose was unparalleled, and then he was perfect in his ways. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways, from the day that thou wast created. Lucifer and all the angels are created beings. Heaven is a created place. God created them. But it says, till iniquity was found in thee. And so Satan was cast out of heaven. Look in, look in Luke chapter 10, verse number 18. Jesus refers to this. Satan was cast out of heaven. How do we know? Well, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, put all these together. Luke chapter number 10. And Jesus had sent the 70 out 70 disciples, sent them out two by two. They went out and preached. They healed the sick. They done all these things. They come back and give a report to the Lord about the things that they had done. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." So they come back. They've got a good report. Man, they're excited. They've been out preaching, and even the devils were subject unto them. "And he said unto them," verse number 18, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." So they said, "Boy, the devils are subject unto us." He said, I was there when Satan was kicked out of heaven. "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." That's what he's referring to there. And so some things we can gather from that. Satan is not in hell. You know, a lot of times you might hear that, or that might be inferred. You know, he's going to go to hell with the devil. Hope we're not talking like that, but the devil is not in hell. The devil is loose. He is loose in the world today. He was cast out of heaven, but he is not in hell. He is loose. There are in the Bible fallen angels. Where do you get that when Satan was cast out of heaven, that angels, part of the angels, were cast out with him? And so go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4. We're looking at all this, but I'm going to make a point about something here in a minute about heaven heaven in the past. So 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. It's a warning concerning apostate teachers. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse number 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And so, of those angels that were cast out of heaven along with Satan, if God spared not the angels that sinned, part of the angels rebelled with Satan. They went with him. God cast them out as well. But cast them down to hell. And so where did they go to? To hell. "And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So if we believe the Bible, and we do, we're Bible believers, part of the angels, or God spared not the angels that sin, cast them down to hell, put them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. There are fallen angels that are in hell. We would liken it unto being in prison. They're reserved unto judgment. Now, Ephesians chapter number 6, we read about the spiritual armor over there and spiritual wickedness in high places, just like God has what we might say ranks of angels, seraphims, cherubims, angels, Satan as well. We have to gather from the Bible that some have more power than others. There are some angels that are more powerful. They have more power. Michael the archangel, Gabriel, some of these are mentioned by name. So some of them are in hell and they are reserved unto judgment. Look in the book of Jude, which is just a few chapters over, talking about the same subject. And in Jude verse number 6, just only one chapter there, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So again, some of these angels kept not their first estate. They rebelled. They went with Satan. They left their habitation. He's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now, I know in the past that I have misquoted this before, saying that the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But that's not what it says. it says everlasting fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 41. And I just want to read that real quick. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I know I've misquoted that, saying that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but it says everlasting fire. And that lines up with what we find in the book of Revelation, that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up day and night forever and ever. But Satan is not in hell like some people say. Some, and I don't know ratio or I don't know numbers, but some of those angels right now are in hell. And they are confined there, according to the Bible. But we also know this as we study the Bible, some of them are loose. There's loose angels. Not all of them are confined. Number one would be Satan is loose. And I said that a few minutes ago. But we know that he is loose and has evidently been since the beginning. I don't think God put him in hell and he broke loose or anything like that. He's been loose on earth. He tempted Eve in the garden. The book of Job, and people that study the Bible, and I've studied this out as well, but the book of Job is older than the book of Genesis. And it's actually the oldest book in the Bible. It's not the first book in the Bible. But we find Satan in the book of Job, chapter number 1, verse number 6. If you want to look over there, Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Said, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Where had Satan been? He'd been on the earth, in the earth, walking around. Remember when we studied about God being omnipresent? He can be all places at one time. Satan is not like that. He can only be one place at a time. He is limited in the places he can be. God is not. God can be all places. So if we say, well, the devil's giving me a hard time, I doubt he's bothering with any of us, really. But the devils can give us a hard time. That's the fallen angels that's on Satan's side. So Satan is loose. Look in Mark chapter number 5. And I'm not just chasing a rabbit just to be taking up time, but I really want you to see something. And I don't know that I'd ever really saw this like I did this morning as I was studying, but I shared it with Kim. She said, that's interesting. Satan's loose. Mark chapter number 5, this is the maniac of Gadara is what he's called. We've all read and heard about him before. He came out. He was the one nobody could do anything with. Verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, this is a devil talking. It's not this man. This man has a demon, has a devil in him. This devil saw Jesus, knew exactly who he was, ran, fell down, worshiped him, and then said, don't torment me. The devils know where they're headed. They're headed for torment. And so he's basically pleading for mercy here. For he said unto him, Jesus, talking about verse number 8, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And so the word demons we use, But it's not in the King James Bible. In the King James Bible, they're called unclean spirits or devils. And he refers to this devil here as an unclean spirit. Verse number 9. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." The word legion means many. So here's what we learn from this. In this one man that nobody could do anything with, he had multiple devils in him. An unclean spirit. But when the unclean spirit talked to Jesus, he said, "There's a lot of us." We'll see that. Verse number 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And notice this, verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And so we find that these devils here, here's what I want you to see. They didn't have their own body. They have to have a body to inhabit. They had to inhabit this man. And when Jesus cast them out, they had to find another body to inhabit. And Jesus cast them, or he permitted them to go into that swine, or the swine, 2,000 of them. Does that mean he had 2,000 demons in him? I don't know. But they went into the swine, and 2,000 of the swine ran down and committed hogicide, I guess. I don't know what you call that. But when we think about heaven, a lot of times we get in our minds that in heaven there's not real people, that they are disembodied spirits, that there's people floating around. But as we study the Bible, the only disembodied spirits that you find are devils, demons. People have bodies and are recognizable. Angels have bodies and are recognizable. I think that's part of their punishment, that they don't have a body. They have to find a body to inhabit. And I just think that's interesting. So all of this, ghosts, goblins, all that bunch of stuff, that's the devil. Man, yeah.
It lives through us.
Yeah.
I know you're trying to keep them moving, but these demons that went into the swine, when the swine was drowned, they have to go and find some other place to go.
Yeah.
They didn't kill them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing, I think, is that reason they wanted to go in them swine, they knew that'd give them a chance to get out and get in people, because what good are they going to do in pigs, you know? But they have to go from body to body to body. They don't have their own body. That's the only thing in the Bible that you find that doesn't have its own body. So if you hear people talking about, "Oh, there's a ghost," "Great Aunt Louise died in the house and she can't get set free," and all of this bunch of stuff. And really, if you study about cults, early 1900s in our country, there was a lot of that. Spiritism is what it's called. People going to seances. And one of the reasons why it was so prevalent, World War I, then World War II, and people go off, they didn't bring their bodies back home, and man, there's grandmas and mamas and wives, and their hearts are broken, and if they could just talk to them one more time, and people just flock to that. and ghosts and ghost stories and all of this kind of stuff. But there's no such thing as people hanging around. When people die, they go to heaven or they go to hell. People don't float around like we think about ghosts. People go one place to the other. Devils, on the other hand, they can inhabit bodies. Evidently, bodies of animals and bodies of people. But what Brother Finley was saying there, if you look in Matthew chapter number 12, people have bodies. Luke chapter 16, Abraham and Lazarus and the rich man, they all had bodies. Moses and Elisha on the Mount of Transfiguration, they had bodies. 2 Kings chapter number 6, and I'm just going to mention these for sake of time, but in 2 Kings chapter number 6, remember when Elisha went out there, Dotham is the place, and they were the enemy was surrounded around, and Gehazi comes along, and he's all worried, and he says, what are we going to do? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. Because he told him, he said, there's more with us than them. And he prayed, he said, Lord, open his eyes. That's real interesting to read. And when his eyes were open, he could see on the mountains all round about. He could see chariots of fire and men with flaming swords. And so the angelic host was there. And they could see them. They had bodies. And evidently they could take care of business because Elisha wasn't worried about all the enemy being around. Another one about angels having bodies. We think about angels sometimes floating around, flying around, all like that. But the angels that came and interacted with people looked like people. In Genesis chapter number 19, 18 and 19, the angel of the Lord comes by. That's a pre-incarnate Christ. But there were two other men with him, and they ate with Abraham. And then in chapter 19, it said they went down into Sodom, and those two angels, they knocked on Lot's door. Lot didn't open the door and say, oh, two angels. He thought they were two men, and invited them in, was hospitable to them. And then the men of the city come, and they want Lot, and they want those men that come into the city. And Lot went out and tried to reason with them. There's several things there in Genesis chapter 19 when you get home. One, they went in, sat down, and the Bible said they ate with Lot. So evidently angels got enough body that they can eat. Lot went out. The Bible said they reached out and they physically got Lot back in the house. They weren't, you know, your hand passed through, something you see on TV or movies or something like that. So we got to get all that stuff out of our minds. These angels were physical. They're physical. The only things in the Bible that don't have their own body is a demonic spirit. And they have to have a body. They have to find a body to manifest themselves through. They are demons, we call devils, unclean spirits. Matthew chapter 12, and beginning at verse number 43. This is interesting. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And my Bible, if you've got a Scofield, said the worthlessness of self-reformation, talking about somebody wanting to turn over a new leaf, and I'm not going to do this anymore and this anymore. And so the demon or the unclean spirit might leave for a while. He can't find anywhere else to go. The Bible said he come back, he finds it cleaned out. And so he gets other unclean spirits, more wicked than himself. So people being possessed with devils, that's a real thing. Probably more prevalent than if we really knew, we probably might scare us. But heaven passed, God was there, the angels were there. A lot of things happened at the fall. And of course we read about that all through the Bible. Heaven present, that's heaven past. Heaven present, the state of heaven right now, takes up the great majority of the Bible that we read about. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, heaven like we think of it now. And so we call that heaven present. In Isaiah chapter number 6, when Isaiah saw the seraphims and they were flying around the throne, holy, 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 that's heaven now. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, and he went talks about going to the third heaven, that's heaven now. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, where John said, I heard a trumpet saying, come up to me, come up hither, the Bible says, and he saw everything that he saw, that's heaven now. Where we studied last night in Revelation chapter number 6, the martyrs, those that had been killed for their faith, that's heaven now, what it looks like now. And when we started the other night in Hebrews chapter number 12, where it says you're coming to an innumerable company of angels, all of that is heaven now. What is heaven like right now? Present heaven, just give you a few things just to move along. That's where Jesus is. Acts chapter number 1. When they saw, they went out and Jesus ascended, and the two men standing by, why stand ye here looking up into heaven? The same Jesus shall come again. Where is Jesus right now? He's in that heaven. And we looked at Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. I saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He looked into heaven. That's heaven right now. And so, and I said Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 and the innumerable company of angels. But all these people in heaven, they have their souls, but they look like bodies. Moses had a body. Elisha had a body. We talked last night in Revelation chapter number 6. Souls under the altar, they had a body, were given robes, white robes, they were told to rest, they had bodies. Bodies need a physical place. Heaven, when we go there, when we die, it's a real place. It's not clouds, it's not hand passing through things. Bodies need a real place. And so, I think that's interesting, the angels, all classes of them. The people in heaven, Jesus has a real body, does he not? He went up. Heaven's a real place. The only disembodied anything is unclean spirits. And they're in the world and seeking places to inhabit. I was reading this morning and studying over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we don't have time to go through all of that, but if you're really interested, if you read the whole chapter, it's very, very good. But it talks over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 about the different kinds of bodies. We'll just look at a few verses over there. I think we got time. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 35. I'm going to start there. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance, of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, I planted corn and beans last week. So that seed I planted in the ground, when that corn grows, it don't look anything like that seed, you know, till it comes up full ear and one of them kernels. Beans, same way. Planted one bean, the plant is totally different. And so he's using that for an example. And even in verse 39, he said, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. So we might say, I don't know how people in heaven could have a body, but there's different bodies down here. Fish have one kind of body. Birds have a totally other kind of body. Men have another kind of body, but they're all bodies. We wouldn't argue with that. They're just different. And so he makes that comparison. And then in verse number 40, he said, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Terrestrial. Celestial has to do with the heavens. Terra, T-E-R-R-A, has to do with the earth. So there's heavenly bodies and there's earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial, boy, I tell you, I have a hard time with that, is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. And so he makes that comparison there. Just because a body is different doesn't mean it's not a body. There's celestial bodies and there's terrestrial bodies. There's bodies down here on earth, and when we die and we go to heaven, our soul will go, but we'll still have a body. They had bodies in Revelation chapter number 6. So all that's interesting unto me. Now, heaven present is temporary. It's temporary. It's been there a long time. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. But if think about this. If the rapture happened tonight, or the rapture happened this year, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we're going to go to heaven. If we lay that out in the book of Revelation, that's Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 1. When John heard the trumpet, we're listening for a trumpet. John heard a trumpet talking with me saying, come up hither. And so the rapture is going to happen. The bride is going to go home, the redeemed. When the rapture happens, there won't be one saved person here upon the earth. All the saved people are going to be called to heaven. They're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be in heaven all the way until Revelation chapter number 19. Let's go over there. So if the rapture happened, let's just say this year. We who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we'll go to be with Him. We will be in heaven all the way up until Revelation chapter number 19. And just for sake of time, what are we dealing with there? We're dealing with the time period of the tribulation. And we study in the book of Daniel. It's going to be 3.5 years of false peace, and there's going to be 3.5 years of great tribulation. So we're only talking about 7 years. Before we come back. That's pretty temporary. So that would be very temporary for us. You know, we talk about going to heaven a lot of times. But you're not going to heaven to live forever. Well, if I died going home, if you died, compared to, you know, Paul, we'd be there just a short period of time. And so that's why I'm saying heaven is a temporary place. We are going to come back in Revelation chapter number 19. And let's just read just a few of these verses down through here. Beginning in verse number 7 is the marriage of the Lamb. Beginning in verse number 11 is what I really want to see. So it said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So at the rapture, there'll not be one saved person left upon the earth. They'll all go to heaven to be with the Lord. At the second coming of Christ, he's going to come back. He will destroy all of his enemies. There'll not be one lost person left upon the earth. He'll come back in judgment. The armies which are in heaven, that's us. We're coming back with him. That's the next time I'm going to get on a horse, is right there. And not until then. All right, what's going to happen after that? Revelation chapter number 20. There's going to be the saints, the church, the bride, because the marriage of the Lamb took place. Chapter 19, verse number 7. Wherever he goes after the rapture, that's where we're going to go. So after Revelation chapter number 19, Jesus is going to be upon the earth for 1,000 years. So we're going to go to heaven. We could be there a very short period of time. We're going to come back and we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years upon this earth, a earth where the curse is lifted and where he rules and reigns, and the church will rule and reign with him. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's so we don't miss who that's talking about. Well, Satan's going to get it one of these days. The old serpent, the devil, Satan, bound him 1,000 years. Verse number 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. That's the church right there. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And there's people, they say, well, I don't believe in the millennial reign. Millennial means 1,000. Six times there, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. I think God was trying to tell us this is going to last 1,000 years. Told us. 1,000 years. Now, all that's wonderful. We don't have time to go through all that. Brother Robert and I was talking the other night. Some of you may remember, preacher. My mind just went blank. Carl Suddreth. Claude Suddreth. I knew that wasn't right when it came out of my mind. But he used to preach a message, a stroll through the millennial reign, about that 1,000 years. I'd like to hear that. He probably preached it here. I heard him preach it up at Westview when Preacher Melvin was up there. And Kim was pregnant with Noah. And we sat about the second row back. And he preached about 2 hours. And it was good. But Kim was pregnant. She was about to die to go to the bathroom. And when we got home, she said, oh my goodness, I didn't think I could hold that any longer. But she was too ashamed to get up and go to the bathroom. But what a great message. And he goes all through the millennial reign, and the lamb lie down with the lion, and kids be playing with what used to be poisonous snakes and put their hand on the hole of the asp and all of those things. That's going to last 1,000 years. We will be on earth with Christ, ruling and reigning with Him for 1,000 years. And all of that's going to take place. We've still not got to the future heaven. Future heaven, you got to go to Revelation chapter number 21, verses 1 and 2. So when we're talking about heaven, what heaven are you talking about? We may be there. Can you imagine? You go, man, that's going to be great. We'll only have a few years. Then we're going to have 1,000 years to look forward to. Then the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation chapter number 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That is future heaven. That's where we're going to spend all of eternity. It's just like hell is a temporary place. Hell will be cast in the lake of fire. Heaven is a temporary place. Heaven becomes a new heaven, that's what it says, and a new earth. And that's what we've got to look forward to. And I'll give you just an example of what I've been talking about. It seems like even commentators, just not that excited about a new heaven and a new earth. New heaven and new earth is going to be better than heaven as heaven is right now. But this book we use at the school, and it's a really good book. It's got a lot of good stuff. The Great Doctrines of the Bible. And you got to go to the very last chapter is the Doctrine of Last Things. Then you've got to go through, he goes through the millennial, he goes through the tribulation, he goes through all these things. And what he has to say about the new heaven and the new earth is all on this page, this side of the page. That's all he's got to say about it. So I wonder why we're not more excited about it. Going to heaven is going to be good, but man, the new heaven and the new earth, that's going to be really, really good. After the millennial reign, and what he says, a new spirit of life for the saints, a new home for the saints, new conditions. And then he gives Revelation 22 and beginning at verse number 4. That's all he says about it. So we'll stop right there. I do appreciate your good attention. We've got little ones coming in. Come back tomorrow night.